We're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and we're talking with Dee McKee today, Pottawatomie County Commissioner, and of course they met yesterday in Westmoreland. One of the things that was approved, I believe, yesterday was the asphalt and chip and seal bids. You guys took those, and I did not catch what those entail.
The chip and seal is, we have a schedule of overlaying of roads at a certain point, and sometimes they're put in and then they have a better seal on them after several years. And so that's kind of the undertow of the chip and seal. It is oil and rock over an existing road that will improve it. And I think maybe if I look back in my papers here, the chip and seal items are, I'll just read them real quickly in case somebody wants, Lewisville Road, Flush Road to Highway 99, Military Trail, which is Highway 24 to West Wamego City Limit. Those are ones we redid several years ago, and they're sealing them again for existence. Beach Road, which is Highway 23 to English Ridge Road. English Ridge Road to Beach Road to Shove Road. Grantham Drive, John Scott Road, and Christie Lane, and that's a seal on a petition that development came in and wanted their roads paved, and they had to have more than a majority of people wanting it, and this is to finally seal it. And then Fog Seal is an overlay, and that goes on those same three roads, Grantham, John Scott, and Christie, so that they are more sturdy in the all the weather and the salt and all the things everybody wants to put on them. That particular chip and seal, I believe, went to Circle Paving out of Goddard, Kansas. Circle C Paving out of Goddard. We did have somebody from Kansas City, two of them from Kansas City bid that, but people are from distances do different projects, and so first time I think that company from Goddard is working on our county. We invite people to bid because it makes for a better thing. Then on the asphalt projects, this one went to Schilling here in Pottawatomie County, whose offices are there. They had a previous bid and didn't complete some things last year. And those will be done at the bid price from last year and probably the first items on the list. And then the rest of the new ones will be processed. I'm trying to look back at my notes if I've got them all down here. I didn't bring those names of those particular roads, but that particular contract for this year is $412,630. So we'll be fixing some of those roads. I didn't bring that list, and I apologize for that, but... keeping them up and maintaining them is a tough thing. I've talked several times. They have at the state a program called ROADS, R-O-A-D-S, Roads Scholars. And I encourage our people to be able at Road and Bridge to go to those trainings and learn about the issues of road keeping and how to cut so that the drainage on the roads goes off into the ditch and doesn't go down the road and cut a path. And at discussions of what to do with certain kinds of materials. I'm not up to speed on it anymore. I did several of them in the past, but the Road Scholar Program gives us an idea of how to maintain, and I've talked to MCI about what happens when we put salt on the road. If we don't have a lot of snow coming, when we put salt on the road, we get a lot of deterioration on paved roads. And sometimes people think just put more salt on it will be a better idea, but the cost for the benefit is questionable if it's just going to be a smaller... we can't predict a storm, and that's when we catch heck because we didn't do it at a bigger rate. But those are the kind of things that set into the budget considerations, and we do have salt available across the county to use. But if it doesn't start snowing till 5 in the morning, it's very hard to be ready for the school. If it started at 7 the night before, well, we're probably looking like heroes. Anyway,
right.
Those guys do a good job, too. When people find out that – people don't often know what the county does, but we are – safety and security and infrastructure support, generally counties don't do what Blue Township requires, and that is to become city planners and water, sewer, all the utilities become part of our, how do they connect and how well do they serve? You'll hear the city sometimes says, well, we don't have good pipes or we're not strong enough pipes in a certain development. That's the way they built them when they did it back there 30 years ago, and there's not too much to do about it, but fix it when it comes time. You see that in Manhattan where they, 100 years later, things are going bad. That's natural depreciation of government. But cities or counties are responsible basically for the management and safety and security of issues across that county. We do the tax collection for the state of Kansas. That means school money. It looks like you get a bill from the county for taxes, but it goes to all of the entities that are taxable, cemetery districts. There may be a recreation district. They collect, and we send it to the cities. We send it to the schools. And so people think, well, you're just spending all that money. In truth, that's not the case. We are the collection agency. We also run the courts, maintain a courthouse. And whatever the state says the courts should have, we don't really get to say, well, that's too expensive. We're not going to put 2-inch thick plate glass windows around the courthouse. But usually we're going to do whatever they ask. And that's once in a while why courts' expenses get the cage gets rattled in Topeka about how expensive it's getting to do some of the services. We provide money for extension. We do the health nurses, all of the registration of deeds, marriage licenses. It's the government closest to the people that takes care of paperwork and solvency, I guess, or insolvency. We sent out late tax notices last week for people who didn't pay their taxes, and there are penalties, and that involves eventually a sheriff sale. And that's when you're spending county money, you want to make sure that you can maintain that budget, not increase it so much that in a few years somebody who's on a fixed income loses their house. And I mean, that's the most subtle underlying principle of trying to run government is to make sure that you don't get it so aggressive that you have to figure out what to do. But you can't save everybody. I've had to sell a house from a friend when I was in Ford County. It's not what I wish to do at all. So we keep working on it. It's bigger than people realize.
Well, and there's so many things that are happening right now at the state level. One thing I heard brought up yesterday at the meeting, and I know there's a little concern, is the extension, possible consolidation. Have you guys heard much on that yet here? I know Riley County's been talking about consolidating up five counties, I think it is, for the extension districts.
Okay, well, when they brought it to us, it was two counties. That's one of the reasons you heard there's been no discussion of who the players are. We did that discussion with Marshall County. The rules for that are set by the legislature, and they are not necessarily the end it seemed, and I've asked for these updated rules or if they've changed because it makes a great deal of difference. We don't own a fairground in our county. It's a privately owned foundation that has it. You have Seco Park Fairground, and it's on the tax thing. Basis. Most counties have that kind of arrangement where extension bills, the extension board bills a fairground, and it's arm's length from the county, but when they ask for money, it's theirs. So when we're talking about this, the new law had said that you could bring them together, but it gave them an absolute right to raise their own money. And it also said, as I remembered, and it's not may not be right, that it would be the appropriations would be based on the valuation of the county. When we talked to Marshall County, they didn't have very many good cars or anything like that for valuation. Ownership. And then their valuation wasn't very high. So what happened if we went with them is we would have to pick up a third more of the cost of running extension while they got the reduction. And I don't know what the law is right now. We're going to meet with them and see what happens. But I take a deep breath when those things become quasi-governmental and outside the control of elected officials, it becomes hard for the purpose of property taxes to really know where you're going to end. And I think they have a 5%, that's as I remember it, window. Well, we can't even right now because of value-neutral legislation of the state. If we put in $3 million worth of new housing, we can't use that additional growth at the same mill levy. We have to keep the traditional amount of it and reduce everybody's taxes. It just became a circus of processes that we have to go through, and this one will fit into that process or something. So we'll see what it looks like. I value the extension, and my kids were in 4-H. I'm not trying to kill anything, but I also do not want to end up picking up the cost, and the offices and the fairgrounds and all those things are part of the consideration. So
yeah.
Fair boards have to have a little thought in it too, I guess. I don't know what we're doing, but we are good at it.
Well, it's interesting because I think the proposal we heard last week, and maybe Nick can correct me if I'm wrong here, but Riley, Potawatomi, Geary, Marshall, and, well, Buncee, I think, might have been the other one. So it's fascinating. I understand why.
Well, see, now you gave me a list that I've not had and I asked for yesterday. Well, it hasn't been the biggest priority for our county right now.
Right. Well, that's just from we have the extension on here every couple of weeks. Gary Fike from Riley County Extension and others join us here. And he's talked about it a little bit, saying that the county fairs would not necessarily go away. But yet it does bring up the question about, well, if you don't have a county-owned fairground, what's going to happen with that? So that's something I hadn't heard about yet. So
That's the abstract of government. You can change and make things work differently, like you do with your not having a sheriff in this county. But when you get to the process of how does it work aligning by somebody else, mm-hmm. there's always these kind of questions. So if you're not legally elected, can you come into our county and do things? I mean, do we have the agreements set to that? And those are okay to have. I'm not opposed to them, but thinking about what it means to your taxpayers and how will it fare if they can close down a rural process, one big fair, that means a lot to small towns. Mm-hmm. And so I have heard nothing from our local participants about what they expect, but we'll go listen.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take a final timeout here on In Focus. More in a moment on News Radio KMAN.